Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm Jen. Welcome to the show.
Okay, we've got a great interview today, especially if you are complete fragrance files like Jen and me.
Whenever we do either a perfumer or somebody involved with fragrance, it's always my favorite interviews. It's just, I get in my happy place. And Mona puts me in my happy place too. Mona Katan is the founder of Kayali Fragrances and a co-founder of Huda Beauty. She's an Iraqi-American entrepreneur currently based in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And she started her career in investment banking. That's funny. We had on Sarah Gibson Tuttle last week and she also was like a banker before moving into beauty. Mona then worked in PR and went on to own a salon before she helped launch Huda Beauty and then, of course, her fragrance brand. I met her years ago. You know, we hit it off because we joked when we met that we were long-lost cousins, just a little family resemblance, but also a love of fragrance. And actually, she told me at the end of this interview that she does have some Iranian ancestors. So we might be long-lost cousins, which I kind of love. But the reason Jess and I wanted to have her on is because she's a fragrance obsessive, just like us. We're going to talk about perfume, her impressive fragrance collection. She revealed to us that she's on a quest to break the world's record for largest perfume collection. Good luck with that, Mona. And she shares some of the cultural history of fragrance that permeates many Middle Eastern cultures. And of course, we talk about her beautiful brand, including her newest perfume, which is called Invite Only Amber. You'll see she offers to send it to us on the interview, and then she did. And I can tell you, it is delicious. It is fall in a bottle. Like, it will wrap you in like warm, ambery goodness and coziness. So it's a great scent. And we had a great conversation. I hope you guys enjoy it. Mona, welcome, welcome, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I love you both so much. And I'm so excited to be back with you, Jen, but also to be speaking to you, Jessica, for the first time. I love you guys and I love everything you do.
Thank you.
And I know we share, all three of us in common, an obsession with fragrance, which is so exciting because Jess and I realized we hadn't talked perfume in a couple months on the show, like with someone who works in the perfume industry. So we're so excited to have like a deep dive on fragrance with you and your brand and everything. But just to start off, I love asking this question of people. What's your first memory of perfume?
Ooh, you know what? My first memory of an actual perfume was the first one I bought. And I was 14 at the time. I had gotten my first job under the table. And at, like, my first paycheck I got, I bought Curve from Liz Claiborne. And yes, it's not something I would rebuy today. It's definitely not me. I've evolved so much. It's like a consumer. But like when I smell it, even now, I'm like, I just get transported to like high school and like Dartmouth, Massachusetts. It's just, it's crazy.
Why did you buy Curve?
Honestly, where I live, there was like barely any options. And I was still like, I was on a budget. So I wanted to buy, like, I didn't want to spend too much money. So it was pretty affordable at the time. I think I bought it from like Walmart or CVS. It was like one of those, like there was no department stores where I lived. It was like super small. So the options were limited and I was like, it's a pretty bottle. I love the cursive writing. I love the look of it. And it just attracted to me. And I remember just, you know, after starting to wear it, I was just like, wow, this just like makes me want to exercise. And I was really into training then. It was just like very fresh and like energizing. But I love that, like that ability of fragrance to just transform how you feel.
Yeah. So you don't remember like your mom or your aunts or any of the women or even men in your family wearing fragrances?
I do. Before
you were 14?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, I misunderstood the question. I got too excited.
You're like, let's talk about me and the fragrances I love.
That's so true.
No, not at all. I just mean like, were you aware of the culture of perfume at an
early
age?
Yeah, I remember just like as a kid, I've always been obsessed with scents. Like for me, it was like the scent of anything just drew my attention more than visuals, more than anything else, even more than like hearing something. It was like the sense of smell was something I connected to so much. So from like a fragrance point of view, it was my mom's fragrances. She used to wear a lot of like jasmine perfumes and they were like non-branded, just like simple jasmine scented perfume. And I remember just one of these like non-branded bottles she had in her drawer and I would always steal it and spray it. And I would just like fall in love with the way it felt. And that's why for me, jasmine is still something that's very like comforting and soothing and just makes me feel very like calm and loved because it reminds me of like both of my parents. But yeah, it's definitely like just jasmine perfume.
So you were like really into fragrance when you were younger, right? So you had Curve and then you said your fragrance evolved. Like you're not a Curve girl anymore.
No.
No offense to Liz Claiborne.
No offense at all.
Oh yeah, Liz Claiborne. I was trying to remember what fashion designer was associated
with
that.
No offense to Liz Claiborne or Curve lovers, because I still enjoy the scent of it because of the nostalgia, but it's just not like my scent profile anymore. Like I think that over time—
Do you have a scent profile? I think if somebody asked me, what's your scent profile? I don't know. I feel like as a fragrance obsessive, like— It changes every day. So,
yeah. I mean, I definitely like change what I wear all the time. But if there's like one, like if I could describe what I'm wearing at most times, it would be floral, spicy, woody. You know, that's me. Like whenever you smell me, I'm going to smell like there has to be something floral, there has to be something spicy, there has to be something woody. And even if the scents that I wear are different, like I always layer. So there has to be an element of those notes in my mix that I wear. And I feel like the older I become, the more like spicy and woody I become because I think I just appreciate the complexity. Like, you know, I think when I was younger, it was like more fresh, more citrusy. And I just like, I think you just want more and like, you want it to smell like more projecting. You want it to stay longer. You just get more, greedy, I guess. I'm just greedy. I want to smell it all day. I want it to like stay on me longer. And I think you just, it's kind of like when you start using like, I don't know, like spices in your food, like you just want more and more and more to get satisfied. You know, it'll just be too ordinary if it's not intense. So I think it's the intensity. I've definitely evolved and I keep evolving, but I love like floral, woody, spicy. That's me right now.
I like that. So you mentioned Massachusetts. And I know you grew up in the States, but you were still a teenager when you moved to the UAE, right? To the United Arab Emirates. So how did that move affect like the way, just your focus on beauty in general, the way you thought about beauty practices, like being an American in the Middle East?
Yeah, it changed my life. Like, I definitely don't think I'd be, you know, as obsessed with fragrances as I am right now. And I definitely don't think I would have created a brand if I didn't move out here.
Why did you guys move?
To be honest, it was like a lot of things. Like I am Middle Eastern by background and I was born and raised in the States. My parents were Iraqi immigrants. So They just felt like we were so disconnected from our roots. And to be honest, I really was. Like, I had no idea about Arabs, Muslims. Like, I had no connection at all. And it was post 9/11. It was in 2002. And it was like where, you know, everything in the news was like, Muslims are terrorists, you know, like this kind of thing. And, you know, we were starting to think that. Like, I was like, oh my God, my family, you're crazy. Like, you know, I just started feeling a bit like, yeah, very disconnected, very like unfamiliar with our roots. And my dad was like, you know what, you should see there's some beauty in like the Middle East, and like you shouldn't be afraid of who you are, you should discover it. So initially it was supposed to be like a 1-year thing to move to Dubai. And I'm so happy we moved to Dubai out of all places, because I do think it's the most like cosmopolitan, like modern, you know, most global part of the Middle East. And it's definitely like very rare. But yeah, it was just to like get to know our roots. And I'm so happy we did. And you know, I think the Middle Eastern culture is so rich, and especially the part about fragrance. Like, fragrance is a huge part of rituals. It's a part of the lifestyle. It's a part of the generosity. It's part of the culture here. So it definitely like opened up a new love for fragrance.
Wait, what do you mean it's part of the generosity of the Middle Eastern culture?
Well, you know, like Middle Eastern culture traditionally is like super generous. Like, if you go to someone's house, they're going to greet you with food. They're going to greet you with probably presents. They're going to greet you with fragrances. They're going to greet you with so much, and they don't stop. Like, it doesn't stop. You know, even if you're just passing by, they're going to be like, do you want tea? Do you want coffee? Do you want this? Like, it's just nonstop generosity, and fragrance is a part of it. So like traditionally, if you go to anyone's house, like they'd greet you with like a tray of fragrances. And if they don't greet you with it, it's in every corner of the house for your use. It's in the bathrooms. And it's not just like the leftovers that nobody wants. They put like nice fragrances out there. They pick it out themselves.
I'm picturing my mom's bathroom. It was like the little tray. And I'm like, that thing has been there 17 years.
There's a layer of dust spray bottle that is like, you can't scratch it off with your fingernail. Yeah. It's now like,
yeah, hard. I've seen those before.
So like, is the Gucci going to be in the guest bathroom?
Definitely. You're going to find the best of the best. But then what you'll also find is like the traditional fragrances from the markets that are non-branded, that some like perfume master who has like no official degree, but he's been doing it for like decades. He works in the markets, like the souks, and he'll be mixing fragrances for the families. And I found that so cool and just so like authentic. And to be honest, that's what made me more in love with fragrances, more than like the international amazing brands that we have here, which is great, like the niche amazing brands. But it's more like the non-branded, just really like...
Are these attars? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what they're called?
Attar is like the mixture of juices together. That's what they call attar. And right. To be honest, attar is perfume in Arabic. So the word attar means like perfume. But yeah, they probably call it attar in the souks. They call it many different things, but that's one thing. You could be like, I need some attar, and they'll mix some perfumes for you in like a bottle.
And you would say to the guy like, oh, give me the jasmine or whatever, the spicy woody floral, and he would mix for you?
Now, is this across all like socioeconomic brackets? Because the Middle East, I'm not like a like geopolitical like expert of like the Middle East. So I really am raising my hand and being like, I don't like you're far more of an expert here than I am. But like, I'm saying fragrance, like everyone's giving gifts in their homes of fragrance, and it's on the back of everyone's toilet tank. Like, I just don't want everyone to think they're going to find a, you know, Chanel number 5 on the back of everyone's toilet tank in the Middle East. Like, can you explain, like, is this something that is in all homes, or is this like, you know, in more upper class homes? Like, I'm just a little confused.
That's such a great question. And yeah, it's so valid because
it's
very
right. Just like you can't say in America, like everyone's really generous, because like they're not, you know.
See, generosity is part of the DNA, the culture of people here in this part of the world. So even if you have like a lower budget and like you're super scrappy, you don't really have the means, they're super affordable mixtures. And those are usually the ones from the souks. Like if you go to the souk, like you could start with bottles that are like $5, you know, equivalent. And you could go all the way up to like crazy money if you're talking about oud, like a tiny, they call it a tula, like a tiny tula of oud, which is just 12 ml, is like, it could go up to like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, like crazy amounts. So like you have such a wide range, but starting, like it's super affordable. And that's one reason why I love it. It's super like raw, very like things just like coming straight out of like the distributor's packaging. They haven't even put it in like a different bottle yet. It's just like very raw, people who love it. It's passion. It's a bit maybe less sophisticated in some ways, but I appreciate that. I love that it's just super raw.
But fragrance, like, versus, you know, I would never say in America fragrance is a part of the DNA. It's not. But in the Middle East, fragrance and that generosity of spirit, like, you know, fragrance being a part of the home and being a part of the personal care culture, is that's part of the culture.
1,000%. It's kind of like, it's a part of our celebrations. Like, you know how, like, in the States, we use cake to celebrate, and we still do that here too. Like, we have desserts, or maybe it's a bottle of wine. Like, I'm trying to think of what we can equate it to, but it's part of the celebrations. Like in a wedding, you burn bahur, which is like the wood that they burn on charcoal, and that's fragrancing the whole venue, or they'll even gift perfumes. It's like, sometimes for weddings, people personalize their own perfume for the wedding. They'll gift it to the guests. So like, that's your memory to that wedding forever, you know?
That's so,
and it's
cool.
Yeah, it's really, it's a part of our celebrations. It's a part of the ritual. It's even part of like the religion. Like in Islam, you're supposed to wear fragrance before you go to the mosque because you want people to smell something nice. It's like to be nice to the people around you, to be courteous. You're supposed to smell like musk, you know, and clean. So it's like a big part of the culture, the religion. It's part of everything.
I love that.
Can we talk about this 12 ml of oud that costs $20,000? Like, really though, what if you were to buy a small, very precious bit of fragrance at the souk, what would you be doing with that? Or is that like something you collect or then mixing it to make a family fragrance or whatever?
Yeah.
Again, I realize you're not an expert on that aspect of fragrance, but while we have you, since you've shopped in the souks and probably bought some of
I've shopped
things.
Around. I've spent quite a lot of money on oud. I think the most I've ever spent was like the equivalent of like $800 to $1,000 on oud and just like a tiny bottle. The very expensive ones, like the $20,000, $30,000, you know, plus, that's usually like the only people buying that for the most part are royals. And it's interesting because oud actually appreciates in value over time. The longer it's kind of like wine, you know, like, and people collect it here like wine, you know, they keep it in their house, they keep it in their safe sometimes, and it just keeps appreciating because it becomes better smelling over time. It just becomes better, which is like so different to like at a parfum fragrance where you just lose value over time. But yeah, it's really interesting.
So you're not like putting it on your skin. It's no, something
you
to
do.
Like collect and then just...
but like okay, the tiniest drop. Like
keep
you
going.
Literally, like with the pure ouds that are very like saturated in oud oil, and they don't really mix them much with like bases and other like fragrance oils. Like it's almost pure. You don't need much. Like even one tiny, tiny drop on your skin might last you a couple showers. Like it's going to be there and like it goes to your whole body. Like that one tiny drop, just like it's enough. Like you don't need more than that.
Wow. And is it worn for special occasions or is it worn just casually because you can afford to?
Honestly speaking, like my friends who are Emirati and like from really prestigious families, royals and people like that, they wear it all the time, daily.
Wow.
But they'll bring out the super expensive one for special occasions only, like a wedding or something, or like Eid, which is like it's a traditional holiday that we celebrate. It's kind of like Christmas. But those are like special occasions where they bring out the expensive one. But then the more like average cost one would be like, maximum like $1,000. That's like what people wear more frequently.
Now, can the refined nose detect a really expensive
oud? That's what I was going to ask.
Or is it like, you know, is it just kind of all smell the same?
Oh, no. No, they smell so different, like so different. The cheaper ouds tend to smell a little bit waxy. Sometimes they smell a little bit like there's a hint of plastic. It's just, it's very different. Where like the pure ouds almost smell like a tiny bit of like oud and honey. Like there's a honey effect to it. It's very sweet, but woody at the same time. And there definitely is a huge difference. And like, you know, there's a wide range. Like, because, you know, to be super honest, like I've been working on oud projects for a long time. And our newest fragrance is the first one that actually includes natural oud. But there's many others that I'm working on. And it has been a mission to find the best quality oud that is still not too expensive that I can afford to like include in our fragrances. But I've smelled so many ouds and they all smell so different. It also depends on the sourcing, which country you got it from, what type of, you know, what type of agarwood tree is it? You know, it's very, very, very diverse.
Wait, this new fragrance, Kayali fragrance, I'm assuming, that has oud in it. What is it called?
It's called Invite Only Amber 23.
And would you call it like it, like describe it? Is it an amber fragrance in general? Like, how would you describe
it? Okay. If I described it in two words, it's gourmand explosion. It's like literally like, and that's what the brief to the nose was like, I want a gourmand explosion. Like, I want people to just smell like dessert, but also like, I just want their senses to be like rushed with like gourmand, you know, because I love sweet scents and I love like different elements of food. I'm a foodie. You know, it's a battle I have. I love food and perfume. And like this fragrance is like,
the yes, good stuff.
It's great. But it has a lot of amber, but it has a lot of gourmand notes too. We have honey, we have cinnamon, we have hazelnut and accord that smells like Nutella. We have a lot of gourmand notes in there. And we also have amber, oud, vanilla, black cherry as well. Trying to remember everything else. Tobacco.
Oh my God, I'm getting hungry.
Tobacco leaf. Yeah, there's a lot of amazing notes in there, but this is definitely the most gourmand, probably the most Middle Eastern scent too, because of the oud. The oud makes it a little bit more like, I do think you need to have a specific type of fragrance preference to use this one. But I think if you do like woody, sweet gourmand scents, you're going to love this one.
Got it.
Did you guys get it yet?
I have not smelled it yet.
Oh, no. I can't. Okay, we have to send it to ASAP.
I got a press release
Oh my God, we need to send it to you like today. Like, I'm going to make sure you guys get it today.
I am not mad about that.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I know you're working on a lot of fragrances, but I want to know about the fragrances that you have. Okay. Now we're talking to you on like a Zoom sort of format and you have little items in the back and a picture frame, like some kind of trinket. But I actually was hoping that you would be filming this in front of your fragrance collection. That was the hope.
No, I want a good sound quality. That was the goal. Not a bunch of glass bottles in the background with reflection.
Because I heard it's like gargantuan.
It's insane and it's getting crazier and crazier by the day. I'm not going to lie. Like, in the past month alone, I think I got around 500 fragrances.
Wait, in the past month, like the intake was 500 fragrances?
Yeah. Like I think I've ordered about 500 in just the past month. Like I'm trying to beat the Guinness World Record of fragrances. So like of a personal library. So yeah, we're getting there, but it probably will be a few more years. And I'm actually
Wait, so what is the record for the largest
fragrance? It's around 7,000 fragrances. If I remember correctly, it's this woman from Greece.
Okay.
Yeah. So her private collection is like almost 8,000 fragrances. So I'm trying to beat her.
So where do you store them? Like, is it like kind of like a wine cellar sort of situation?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's my basement. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually looking to maybe make it similar to the vibe of a wine cellar because I just want to like add that drama. So people will be like as excited as I am about it. I am looking to rent an apartment for it. I'm not lying. I've been looking at places now because I'm like, I'm running out of space in my basement. I need more shelves if I'm going to beat this record. So I've been looking at apartments to rent
like
for this.
Like a studio? Like how much apartment?
I think I need like a bigger apartment. Yeah. Cause right now my basement is like 2,000 square feet. It's full. Like I need something bigger.
It's full of fragrance.
Like it's pouring over.
I'm sorry. I really think that we needed to see this because I still am having trouble visualizing.
I've seen it. It's amazing.
But even if you have like several thousand bottles, you're telling me 2,000 square feet, like they're not that big. Like, is it, can't you just get like shelving? Like that is like Macy's can do this. Like, I mean, you can't figure this out.
I know. See, like the thing is, I actually customized shelving.
This is a space solution.
And Jen, I have to send you like new photos and videos of the new space because I've like renovated it. But the thing is, I like them all like to have space so that nothing's blocking the other one. So that's why it's taking up a lot of room. But I could compromise and put them.
Jess, this isn't your beauty closet, you know, at Harper's Bazaar where like there's 30 on the shelf.
I just feel like
she has them like displayed like wine almost.
Okay. Yeah. I just feel like this is like a solution we could figure out. But yeah, she clearly has something else in mind. Okay.
I'm nuts. I'm nuts.
Respect. I'm just a little like blown away. But I can't wait to see it. And I know that you could probably charge admission.
I was thinking like a museum kind of, like I would go visit someone's collection.
You guys
like
are
that,
so funny because I was actually thinking about that because I was like, I need to start making money for all the money I'm spending on all this perfume. I'm like going so broke.
Well, you could, if you want to do this the way it sounds like you want to do this, this is a museum. Like you should be charging admission.
And
you guys are so funny.
The generosity you were telling us about, you're sharing your collection with like other people in your city.
So for a like nominal donation, you know.
You know what? I think.
Come smell my wares.
I love this. We need to do a fat mascara collab.
I can see it.
Yes. And
a little plaque for each one. A little blotter or like what?
Okay, oh, yeah, now like you're making my brain just like buzz. Like now I'm just picturing like the nose, the notes, the year. Like, okay, you're getting me too excited.
Like, why keep this all to yourself? You don't want to be like a private collector, like, you know, keeping all of this to herself.
I think, you know what? I'm not even joking. I'm going to speak to people in Dubai Tourism and see if they can help me with this.
You would get so many people.
We talked about, it's Qatar. The Qatar Tourism Board in D.C. opened a little perfume museum. We talked about it on the podcast a month or two ago. It's not really much. It's just like a small, like sharing the history of fragrance in Qatar and all of that. And you have to go by appointment. But I don't know. Maybe there's something
to work
with.
Oh, my God. And honey, you've got star power, right? They would come look at your shoe and sock collection. Like, you know,
I'm obsessed with this.
It's
you guys are so,
legacy.
I love where you guys are going with this. And yeah, I thought about something, but this is way bigger than my idea. So I'm going to explore this. I love it.
I know.
Okay. I have to ask you. So you said you added about 500 fragrances in the last month. Like what makes the cut? Like, how do you decide?
Well, to be honest, last month I was just focused on celebrity fragrances because in Dubai, it's so hard to find them. So I found a fragrance website. And I was just like, you know, it's pretty good. The prices were like, they're kind of discounted. And I was like, I want every popular celebrity fragrance that's ever been created because I think they're cool. Like I love niche brands. I love luxury brands, but celebrity brands, I feel like they're so fun. The bottle's always so like dramatic. There's so much like design mm-hmm. to it. And yeah, I just wanted to like educate myself more on celebrity fragrances. So like, I think 90% of what I bought was just celebrity fragrances.
What's one that like you actually thought smelled really good?
Well,
or did you not even smell them?
Yeah, I haven't smelt all of them yet. I'm still working on it. I try to do it like one at a time, dig out the notes and like just, you know, make sure I'm like absorbing everything while I do it. So it takes a while. But today I smelled Fenty for the first time and I love it. Have you guys tried Rihanna's perfume?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm obsessed.
Yes. And I was surprised too, because it's not super commercial, I thought. Like, you know, like Britney Spears' scents mm-hmm. and J-Lo and Paris Hilton's, they're all like lovely, mm-hmm. fruity, floral, very wearable. This is like a perfume mm-hmm. with a capital P.
Absolutely.
What did you think?
I loved it. I didn't like the initial like opening. I was surprised. And then as it dried down, I was like, I'm obsessed. Like I still have it on my arm and I keep smelling it. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like she killed it.
It's very woody. If you like woody, I feel like...
Yeah, I feel like it's very floral, woody, sweet. It's my scent profile. It's the same thing I gravitate towards all the time, but it's so like nice and like, yeah, just sweet and delicious. It smells like how I think Rihanna would smell.
Totally. So if we came over to your collection and you were giving us a little tour before the museum opens, what would you hone in on to show us that's like something super rare or really cool that like visitors love to see?
I would definitely spend all my time with you guys showing you the Arabic fragrances, because I feel like that's going to be something that you guys haven't seen before and like more unique and it's just different, you know, and it's something that's kind of special to the region. Where like even when I used to travel to the US and I would not pack all my perfumes back in the day. Now I pack a lot, but I would miss my Arabic mm-hmm. perfumes and you just can't find them many places mm-hmm. in the States. So I feel like you guys would really appreciate that. And I also have a whole section where it's just like raw notes on their own. That Fear Manish gave me some of them, our fragrance house, as well as some other websites I found just like pure notes on their own. So I find that really fun to experiment with, because a lot of notes that you think would smell like something don't smell like that on their own. So as a fragrance lover, I enjoy that. I don't know if you guys would enjoy it, but I love just like smelling like, you know, what does saffron smell like? You know, like we talk about it, but what does it smell like as a pure ingredient? It's very like interesting. And I feel like it also helps you get to know what you love.
Sure. Now, what would be a fragrance that means the most to you, like the most personal?
Ooh, that's such a great question. Like a Kaeli fragrance or even like other brands or?
Let's do other brands.
Other brands?
Because I feel like, like your own line, it's kind of like a tough question because they're like your kids.
Those are your babies, of course.
But one that, you know, in the kind of like, if you're, it's like, you know, this is your life.
Yeah.
One that really just is like,
yeah.
It's like a photograph of your heart, you know,
gosh.
That is just really just gets you.
There's one fragrance. I don't know if you guys have heard of it because it's like a super niche brand from France. The brand is called McAuliffe. And
I don't know it.
It's by Martine McAuliffe. It's her and her husband, Jeffrey. They work on the brand together. And the scent is called The Watch. And it was my first niche luxury perfume I ever got. It was actually gifted to me by my best friend in university because it was like way too expensive. I couldn't buy it for myself. It was like $300. But that fragrance, like it was from my best friend who I love so much. So the memories tied to it are so special. And also being in university, like pre-work life, like I miss that life. So it's like so special. But also I think it's another thing that just made me fall in love with fragrance because just the quality was so spectacular. Seeing the difference between a commercial fragrance and a niche luxury fragrance, like the long-lastingness, the scents themselves were just so much more, in my opinion, just more qualitative. And also later I ended up approaching the founders and I did their PR for free because I love them so much. When I first became self-employed, I was like, you know, can I please work with you? People need to know about your brand. And I met them. I got to know their story. I fell in love with them, to be honest. I love the founders. And it made me fall in love with perfumes like so much. I love their story. And I still love their brand so much.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to have to do some research after this on that fragrance house. Can I ask you, you mentioned that you have this like note library from Fair Maniche. Do all of the Kaeli fragrances, do you work with the Fair Maniche perfumers to do all of them?
Yeah, as of now, every single one.
And tell us, how did you even start Kaylee, by the way? I should probably start there.
To be honest, it's like, it's been a dream of mine to create a brand for like literally over 10 years. Like I found my diary the other day from like 2011 and I was like, fragrance brand, like I really want to make this happen. It was such a dream. But when I started like venturing into just being self-employed and then like entrepreneurship, it was always like there was this hesitation, whether it was like not having the right amount of investment or even like not knowing enough, not having the right partners. So I just, it never happened. And there were times where I tried working on the project, even like before Huda Beauty, you know, when I had a beauty salon back in the day, like I had met people, I even talked to the owners of McAuliffe. I was like, let's do this together. I talked to everybody in Dubai, like everybody I could meet that is involved in fragrances. I was like trying to work on this project. But it never worked out for whatever reason. It was always like either just a difference in like expectations or Huda Beauty would start. Like when Huda Beauty started to grow, it like my whole life like got taken over by that. So I think every delay has a blessing. And, you know, in 2017, that's when I connected with someone on LinkedIn from Firmenich, Asha. She's just an amazing, I call her my perfume fairy. Like she just made all my perfume dreams come true. And she just helped me find somebody to work with us at Huda Beauty. And we slowly, step by step, started working on the proper research. And at that time, because I learned so much of like from Huda Beauty, like the standard I had, like in terms of the partners I was working with was on another level versus like the prior years, like in 2013, 2014, it was more like regional players, you know. But with Firmenich, they helped me so much. And I'm so grateful to them. Like they really, really went above and beyond and like connected me with like glass manufacturers, like fillers, like everybody. They're amazing.
Yeah, I love your bottle.
Thank you.
It's so timeless and like I feel like a perfume bottle, like I love some scents and they just hide in the back of my collection because I'm just not down with the way they look on my shelf. You know what I mean?
Such a great point. And honestly, the bottle was inspired by the Middle Eastern bottles because they all look like jewels. They're like diamond shapes and they all look like treasure. So I was like with Kaylee, like I really wanted it to be something you're proud of, like something that you're putting in the front because it makes you feel like a princess or a prince or whatever. I just want you to feel like, you know, like royalty, you know, and I feel like the bottle itself needs to be like your own little diamond, your crown that you wear, you know, like fragrance should be something that makes you feel phenomenal, not like an afterthought. It's like, it needs to be part of, you know, your own ritual for like taking care of yourself.
And tell me when you, I'm curious, like you had to kind of like tap onto, you felt like you couldn't. At first, you're like, I couldn't realize my brand, right? And then you kind of sought the, if I'm getting this right, you sought the counsel of other people or you kind of put your dream to bed for a little bit and then your fragrance fairy godmother came over and tapped you.
Kind of both. Like I kept always working on it in the back burner. Like I was there. I always felt so frustrated, you know, like even with everything that happened with everything else I was working on, you know, my previous like small businesses and then with Huda Beauty, even with it, when it was taking off, like, I just never felt satisfied because I was like, oh, I'm dying to create this brand. Like I really like, I have it in my heart. Like it's not for the sake of business. It's not for the sake of anything. I just like have this passion that I want to create something that's different and like, you know, do something with this love that I have for it. So it was on the back burner. I did continue meeting people, but it was like not the priority because I couldn't prioritize it at the time. And then after, you know, we started to settle down, we got our investors at Huda Beauty and we started building the team. That's when I was like, now I can stop wearing 10,000 hats at Huda Beauty and focus on like something else. And thank God I was able to like start working on it in the end of 2017.
Do you still have a position?
That was my question. My question is, do you
like, cause then there's Wishful, like, you know, that's growing still. So like what do you do every day?
I don't do that much operationally in Huda Beauty at all. Like really it's become to a point where I almost don't do like anything operationally. I'm on the board and I'm involved, like I'm, you know, involved in very like high level conversations, but my focus operationally is purely Kaylee and then supporting some other investments that we have at HB Investments, which we're just incubating some brands. But Huda Beauty, honestly, they have such a great team now. It's a big team. And even Wishful, I've had zero involvement in. Like, I've had no involvement in it at all. But I like this. I like focusing on Kaylee. It's a lot. It's too much work as it is. So, like, I'm just...
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even trying to say like, oh, your little side project. What about your main job? Like, clearly this has become a fragrance house and this is your main
focus. Did you really learn from, sure you learned a lot, but like what are like the key takeaways that you learned from your time at Huda?
Oh, so much, you know, so much. I've learned a lot from just being involved in like a global brand. Like there's just, you know, we grew very slow, even though people think we grew fast. It was actually very slow. So thank God it was slow because we made a lot of small mistakes over the way. We made some big mistakes too, but like we grew slow. I learned from like every area. Back in the day, I was involved in almost every area of the business. So I was able to learn about, you know, little bits of finance, little bits of legal, PR, marketing, you know, development, like every single area. But I think what I've learned the most and what's been most important to me for Kayali, and actually I only learned this recently. I didn't have that much connection to Huda before as like being a founder. I didn't really know what it took to like create a vision and then also express that vision. Cause sometimes you have something in your head, but like getting that to translate into like the vision that you verbally share with people is like, I used to have blockage there. I don't know if it's just me, but I would always have these ideas in my head and I couldn't really articulate them well.
So what was that switch?
lots of therapy. Like, honestly, it took a lot of like, just like digging deep and like figuring out like, you know, just different ways to express myself, artistically, and also just like do all kinds of crazy exercises, like weird things. Like sometimes it was just like watching dramatic TV shows, like Pinterest boards, journaling, like lots of things like that. But I think from her side, like she's always been the founder of the brand and I never really understood like where her crazy, obsessive, dramatic passion came from. And I used to kind of get annoyed by it. I was like, oh my God, you're so dramatic. You have to overshare everything. You have to give too many details about everything. And now I'm realizing like, you have to, you can't like be a founder if you're not getting people into your head and also like giving them a part of like your founder juice. Like I believe like there's founder juice and like you got to squeeze it out and put it on people for them to like feel the vision and like the magic that they're a part of, you know?
The founder juice, you've got to squeeze it out and you've got to put it on the people.
Sorry. That sounds wrong.
No. I was just thinking too, like, I mean, I think what you're describing is passion. Yeah. Like Huda had her fragrance was your passion. So it probably was easier to explain your vision when it was something you cared so deeply about, I imagine.
Definitely. I think when it came to like color cosmetics and everything we were doing before, like I approached everything very rational and like analytical maybe, and like a little bit too much of like a business person, you know, like it was always like, okay, how will this make sense business-wise? You know, it never came from like really wanting to disrupt. Like I did want to disrupt in some ways, but not the way Huda wanted to in color. And now I understand what she's talking about when she used to say these crazy things. And I'm like, why are you so nuts? Like I always thought she was just crazy. And she is. Like I do think she is. But I also think that to be a founder and to create something different, you have to be a little nuts like me. Like buying like thousands of fragrances per, you know, year. Like I've become a bit loony.
Well, I think that's like with founder-led brands, that's like the difference when people go work for a founder-led brand. It's like you kind of have to know you're going to a different company than if you were going to like Olay or, you know, Dior. And I'm not making a comment on either of those brands. It's just like it's a very different type of, you're following a leader,
a corporate,
you know,
or something.
Person rather, you know.
Right.
It's really... Yeah, it's a different kind of thing. Did it take you like was it a switch for you or was it? I mean, it sounds like you did a lot of work.
Yeah, I think that you know, for me, I don't feel like I really like switched on my founder juice until 2020, and it was like during lockdown where I was like, why am I doing this? You know, and it was like I feel like I knew what I wanted before, but I didn't really know how to explain it. And like, I think just again, like through a lot of like deep searching and like just therapy and things like that, I began to understand like the vision of what I was trying to achieve. Like I just put it into words and like was able to share it more. Where before I was just like, I think there was a lot of blockages, you know?
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think a lot of people can probably relate to that.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about the numbers on your bottles. you know, you said your sister was like, why is she so nuts and obsessive? And then I was like, Mona, like, I know it's taken like 23 takes to get a perfume right, right? Those numbers on each bottle.
That's right.
Don't they relate to how many like versions of the fragrance
yes,
you made?
Great memory. Yes, that's right.
So wait, the new fragrance, the Gourmand yes. one, remind me
invite
the name
only.
Of the Amber.
Amber 23. Yeah.
Invite only Amber. So what's the number on that
23.
Bottle?
Yeah.
Oh, it is 23. That's funny. I just picked that number out of the air. And that's how many iterations from that you and the nose yeah. worked on to get to what you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, we actually worked on more, but that was the one we selected.
Oh, 23 was the, like, this is the 23
yes.
version.
And I that's think I drove him okay. nuts. To be honest, this nose is so talented, Ilyas. It's the first time we work with him on a juice. I think I drove him nuts. I think there was a point where he was like, I'm not going to work with you. You're crazy. But we got to such a great place and the end result was, in my opinion, just one of the best juices. Like it's definitely one of my top three from our Kaylee range now, but it's a process. It's a lot of back and forth because like for me personally, like to hear that we smell kind of similar to anything else is like the worst. Like I just want to like go into my coffin and like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, game over. So it's like, keep trying to challenge them. Just add a little bit of more of this or take a little bit of that. Like, I just want to make sure it's nothing like nothing I've ever smelt before, or maybe it'll last a little bit longer if we do this. So it's a long process and you have to be really patient. This juice, we were supposed to launch August 2020 and then the factories like all shut down. There was an issue with our glass because it's got the jet metal finish. So we couldn't, it was either launch it with a clear bottle.
Oh, I'm sorry. The jet metal finish?
Oh, did I not tell you? Yeah, it has like a beautiful.
What's jet metal
finish? Yeah, it's got this beautiful foil.
Oh. It's like a mirror.
Yeah.
Like she's showing it to us.
Oh, so this is different than your other Kaylee. It's not clear. It looks
like. Yeah, it has like this beautiful foil and it has like an amp.
I didn't know what it was called. Jet metal. I like
Show us your nails. Hold up your nails again.
I did it to match the box.
The nails or her nails are jet metal.
Yeah,
they're like gold
match.
Jet metal and they match the gold. It looks like just a gold mirror. It's a gold mirror.
Exactly.
But like a chocolatey gold.
Exactly.
Nice.
It's like an amber, Nutella, like.
Amber, thank you.
Like, yeah. It's supposed to go with the juice.
No, it is Nutella. I like that. I like that. I feel very hazelnutty and gourmand. Well done. Before we let you go, we have to ask about some favorite products of yours. And as you've been talking, I was like, she must have good candle game. Maybe not because you, like, how do you set your home?
I love candles. I'm actually burning one right now. It smells so good. I love candles. I'm obsessed. And I also...
What are you burning?
Right now, I'm burning this brand, but to be honest, it's, like, very hard to get. It's only found here in Dubai. It's called From the Arabs, and it's a musk candle, and it's so beautiful. Mm. Like, it smells divine. Mm. I also just love, like, I know, like, shame on me, but like Bath and Body Works candles, like I'm obsessed.
Why are you saying shame on you?
Because I think the wax is not that great, and like I don't know if it's like the best type, but I love them. This
good scent throw though on those Bath and Body Works.
That's what I don't understand. The throw is insane. Like I don't. So hard.
They are doing something very right. I think there is no shame for Bath and Body Works. It is an accessible candle.
Thank you. I love them. I've always loved them. They're a good price.
Yes.
They have good discounts all the time. Like I stock up for my house. And then I also love Bahur. So unfortunately, I don't
what
have
What is it
one.
Called?
Bahur. So that's like the wood that we burn. It's usually like the oud wood that's infused with like other perfume oils. And you just burn it on charcoal, or nowadays, like I use the electric burners because I'm kind of like, you know, scared about the charcoal.
Scared, yeah. About safety. I thought you meant afraid of burning your house down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was like I have
friends who've done that before, so I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. Very.
I'm
gonna
send you guys an electronic burner with some wood. Some oud, you guys have to experience it. It is different. And I don't know if you'll like it. It is like, you know, oud can be very polarizing, but for me personally, it's like one of my favorite experiences. Like there's something about it just burning.
No,
oud.
I'm super excited.
Yeah. I'm
excited. I like the smell of oud, but
you
I've
do?
Never burnt
yes.
oud. Yes. But I've never burnt oud in my home. I've only smelled it like in fragrance, you know, like personal fragrance.
It's very different when you burn it. It almost feels like soothing in some weird way. Like the smoke and you know, I just put it in the corner of the room. Sometimes I like walk around my house with it, just spreading the scent. That's what people do traditionally. Like they'll walk room to room and just like, they also think it's like kind of like staging and everything. But it's just, it's nice. I think you guys are going to love it.
It's so funny. You're making me think, like, so many cultures do that. Like the copal wood when you go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then Palo Santo. It's out in LA. It's not an LA thing.
Palo Santo?
At the yoga Yeah, Palo Santo, exactly. Like, I just feel like it.
Yeah.
It's probably like, LA, a Native American
It's not an LA, like, you know, what do you call it? Silver Lake.
Yoga studio. Silver
Lake. Yeah.
You know totally. What I mean, though? There's clearly around the world, there's something to like burning a scented wood
just,
in
like,
your home or
scented
in your space.
Smoke just kind of filling up your room. There's something about it that just clears the air and makes it just any odors, any sort of like whatever, it just disappears and it smells so good. It feels like you're doing something nice for yourself.
Cleansing. It's cleansing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's starting anew.
I love that.
Listen, we're going to do a quick lightning round, but before we go, I just want to say I'm so happy that you came on, and I really feel we're like kind of joking around, but like I'm totally not joking around. I really think that you should start a fragrance museum.
You're so funny. Honestly, I'm thinking about it now. Like I was kind of joking around too, but at the same time, I need to make some money for these fragrances because I'm going, like, I'm spending way too much money.
Well, there's one I've been to in Paris that was amazing. But other than that, it's just like more people need to understand what our obsession's about, you know?
You're so right. And it's the only sustainable way I can continue.
I think so. There are fragrance museums like shout out Mandy Aftel in, you know, San Francisco.
Oh, right.
There are people who are doing work in this space, but I think you have, you know, a different angle and you have such a huge following. And I just love that you're bringing, you know, the newer generation, like, you know, into the fragrance world. So keep it up. All right. So this is just a quick lightning round. All right. What beauty product do you first remember falling in love with? You cannot say Curve because we already talked about that.
So like any beauty product.
Any beauty product.
I think it would probably be lip gloss then because I love a good lip balm or lip gloss. I mean, I still use lip smackers to this day.
What's your flavor?
The latest one I've been using is Cotton Candy. I love it. Yeah, but any good like flavored,
keeping it on brand.
Flavored lip balm, flavored lip gloss, I love it.
If there were one rule you wish everyone would follow, what would it be?
Just be kind, be nice, give people love at all times.
What's your favorite snack?
Cucumbers, because I'm on a diet all the time.
God, that is grim.
Can you at least salt them or something?
I put salt and lemon juice and pepper, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You don't need to be on a diet. Okay. Then that was my like totally like not like unsolicited commentary, but like you can have like a real snack.
A real snack? Oh, I'm such a like, I'm always like trying to be healthy. If it was like a naughty snack, it might be like roasted marshmallows. Like, oh, on fire. Yeah. Love it. Can't get enough.
Also on brand.
Yeah.
Like, gourmand toast, you
That's
sweet,
why I'm always on a
like,
diet.
Developing.
Because I love it.
Yummy, yummy. Okay. What is the most played song on your favorite playlist right now?
Ooh, right now it's the Crazy in Love remix by Beyonce for, I think, 50 Shades of Grey, because that's what got me in the invite-only mood. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see that. I'm going to play that when I sniff it.
I'm going to send you my playlist for the whole vibe. I'm going to send it to you.
Are you guys on Spotify?
We are, yes. We have it.
Oh, I have to check out your playlist.
If there were to be a movie, this is the last one, okay? If there were to be a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. To be honest, maybe Oprah. I love Oprah.
Oprah?
Yeah, I love her. Okay. I'm obsessed with her.
This was so fun. First of all, now I'm really hungry because it's morning here and like I barely had breakfast and now I want to go eat like toasted marshmallows.
I just make sure
cherries covered in chocolate
and
Nutella.
I just picturing like the charred black stuff coming off the marshmallow.
Don't you love when you like grab the sticky part?
Pulling it apart.
Like, yeah.
Smashing it on the cracker.
Oh my God, yes.
Pulling it apart.
It's getting a little ASMR.
It is.
The chocolate melts. This was.
I'm like tasting it in my mouth right now.
But this is super fun. thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
me.
You guys are amazing, and I love everything you do. And I always love speaking to you, Jen. Like honestly, you're my sister. from another Mista.
Yes, we are.
And now I'm so happy to...
We're probably cousins I think we are.
And it's nice to meet you, Jessica, too. And thank you so much for having me. I love how passionate you guys are about beauty, but now, like, to talk about fragrance with you guys is so special. Really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.